Hello, extra time.
Are you part of the league not to get a hold? Because it damages your reputation. It makes people, when they read it, just laugh at you.
The single club, they're playing in the League One, and they're playing in the Europa League, and they're credit.
Finally, the ET Sportscast has come back to the studio. That's a little bit of a wrestling reference for you, Mac. I'm not sure how much of a wrestling fan you are.
I used to watch a bit of wrestling. Yeah. I used to come in actually from League of Ireland games on Friday evening.
And straight into SmackDown.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, like you see players saying, "They can't get sleep because the adrenaline's still flowing." That it can be like that,
right?
With a on the whistle match report, you know.
I'd say,
a little
exactly like being a player. It is.
Yeah, but I was more like Mick Foley, not the guy, not the journalist, but the Mankind,
Cactus Jack, whichever you like. Look, yeah, you may have detected there's going to be a little bit of wrestling chat on this. Not too much, to be fair. We'll touch on it at the end of the show, I'd say. So we'll hang on there for a few minutes. Well, you're very welcome along to the ExtraTime.ie Sportscast. Couldn't wait to get into
that's
wrestling.
That's some intro.
Mark Dara first joins me.
Hello, Declan.
We've got a really top-notch guest from my point of view personally. Shane Tracy, 12 years at, or 12 seasons, I should say, at Limerick, is going to join us later on to talk about their season so far. Joint top at the moment, McDara. One loss so far. Could not have foreseen this, to be honest.
I don't think anyone could have foreseen what is happening in the first division.
It's all down to Daily Cars. We've got plenty more to talk about in the meantime. We'll have to start off, I suppose, with the fact that Shamrock Rovers are 8 points clear, 2 games ahead of...
Yeah, 8 points clear of Bohemians, 10 points clear of Dundalk.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about Dundalk. I'm talking about the next in line, the second place team. You never talk about the other teams down the line just because you feel that they'll challenge you later in the season. We're talking about first to the next team, and that's 8 points with
2 extra
games played. So, Bows win those 2 games, they're only 2 points off.
Yes.
Not a massive lead.
That is true. Those games in hand, I believe, are against Dundalk.
Right. I'm trying to downplay this because you have announced your intention to me to come in here today and declare what exactly?
I'm going to declare that Shamrock Rovers are in this title race.
They're in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you couldn't write them off at this point, given that they're 8 points clear.
Yeah, and that
people are going to be delighted they tuned into this wrestling followed by...
Exactly. But they've played every opponent at this stage, and including playing Finn Harps twice. So you kind of... you tend to reserve judgment after a round of fixtures and then halfway through the season. So we've got to a quarter of the way, for Shamrock Rovers' point of view, through the season and beyond. And, they've only lost... one game where they got an early red card certainly did influence the results, and the other points dropped was against Dundalk, the best team in the league for the last 5-6 years, really.
And not to allow you to go too far off track and just praise Shamrock Rovers for this whole thing, we do need to level maybe some criticism at Cork because they looked a little bit limited in their game. Now, that shouldn't be understated how good Shamrock Rovers were, I thought, in that live game, which was good to see again. Good to see the action being back on telly. I think we have 3 weeks in a row? We certainly have 3 good weeks in April, which is pretty good.
Yeah, there's another live game this
pretty
Friday.
Soon. And Shamrock Rovers again, isn't it?
Shamrock Rovers are three
games in April? Because I think the Bows game is on Air Sport, if I'm correct in saying that. I could be wrong, but it's a lot of TV coverage.
Yeah, which is good.
Yeah, it'd be nice to share the wealth.
But Cork... Cork were poor.
Yeah. Pretty disappointed with... like it should be said, they're unlucky that second goal. Deflected goal.
Yeah, and then they had a disallowed goal themselves.
Which
so.
I was working at the time, so I had the sound off, and I looked away and looked back, and I wasn't quite sure what had happened. Was it... Because it didn't look like it was flagged immediately.
Yeah,
was it?
Well,
was it quick?
Well... He went celebrating that way, and exactly where the linesman had his...
Right, okay, fair enough. I missed that.
So, yeah. But there wasn't... The RT coverage is good, but it's not the 35-camera Sky Sports.
That's fair enough. We'll let them off.
So there wasn't a good view as to what it was. So. Yeah.
That's fair enough. I thought McAniff, absolutely excellent. Were you at the game? Did you get to chat to any of them after?
Actually, I was talking to Aaron McAniff on Saturday for the Shamrock Rovers programme on Friday.
Right.
And... Yeah, McAniff's now the top scorer in the league with 5 goals. So he scored 10 goals with Derry City last year, and he's halfway to that total already. And he was saying about that was something he was looking to continue to do with goal scoring coming to Rovers, and that's why I think he's such a popular player with the Rovers supporters, because he's banging in the goals. So, and there were two. Yeah, one was a deflection, but his second goal and Rovers' third goal was absolutely brilliant. He took one touch. he was given quite a lot of room, but
and Jack Byrne's pass and the build up to that was it was an absolute thing of beauty. I think it was praised. I can't remember who on the RTE panel praised it. Might have been Kevin Doyle.
Yeah, and Pat Fenlon was doing commentary.
It might have been Fenlon actually. Yeah. It might have been Fenlon, but really, really was top notch pass followed by a top notch finish. And I think that is the one thing where I think last week I may have said to you, I'd be concerned by the lack of a traditional striker for them. But it is the thing that I think people have said all along is that just goals all over that team. And yeah, you'd expect both McInniff and Byrne to certainly be looking at double figures.
Yeah, and what that also means is I think like Cork City are now 15 points behind Shamrock Rovers, so they're going to have to go on a run. That's certainly a run that Dundalk could manage, but I don't think Cork did it when they've Sean McGuire in the team and they went on a run, and that's what they'll need to do to get back into the title race. And I think...
Are you officially backing Shamrock Rovers and you're ruling out Cork now at this point?
I'm going to reserve judgment on Cork. But
the one thing that you can tell us is that Shamrock Rovers are in the title race.
Are in this title race.
Well, are Dundalk? Yes, is the answer.
So, yeah.
But it was a pretty brilliant evening all around for Shamrock Rovers because they looked excellent. You had Kevin Doyle singing their praises on TV and still doing so, I think, on various forms of media after. And... Which will go a long way towards them maybe taking Dundalk's crown as the good, watchable footballing side that are getting players into the Irish team. I think it goes a long way, a lot of this stuff, towards making them a loved side to the neutrals, a bit like Dundalk had sort of become, to people who maybe hadn't really got an interest that can go and catch this game. I think that'll go a long way. And all that being said, then Cleary goes out and helps Shamrock Rovers along.
Comedy on goal for...
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But it was like I still can't figure out. Again, you don't get enough views of it, not enough different angles. I can only see the one. My God, I still can't really figure out what happened. It looked like he kicked it off himself with his back of his leg or something. Yeah, unbelievable.
So, but by all accounts, Pat's played reasonably well on the night. And just looking, I saw Gavin McLaughlin's tweet. He was saying that Chris Forrester played particularly well on the night as well, which is good to see because I know we've talked a little bit about that over the last few weeks. So,
and well, just while we're touching on Pat's, then are they part of this title race, do you envisage? Because we talked a bit at the start of the season about people with a few of their signings sort of putting them up there.
They have a squad good enough, but if it's between a squad of ex-Rovers players and Shamrock Rovers players, my money is on the Shamrock Rovers players. But what I have to say about Dundalk is, so they have a depth of squad that can cope with all the games they're going to play. They have money available to bring players in. They have players who are going to be coming back pretty soon. Patrick McElhenney, I think, is on the way back relatively soon. So I think they're definitely in it. Like Bohemians have done really well. The players that Keith Long's brought in, those younger players. Do we want to mention friend of the podcast?
We have to mention Minerty. I was so excited to get it out that I stumbled into that one. We have to mention Finnerty's overhead kick.
Brilliant!
Unbelievable stuff. Yeah. Couldn't believe what I saw. So I got a message from someone telling me that it had happened. I just tagged me on Twitter, and I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Brilliant stuff.
But he's an example of one
it's
of the kind
of thing. Look, more people should come on this show. Exactly. And this is the kind of spotlight it gets you, and that's the kind of confidence it gives you.
So they're players that have been able to come in and perform, because you're always kind of wondering what are these players going to get.
Yeah.
But from a depth of squad point of view, on all the games that need to be played, particularly now in April, the difficulty is now whether Bohemians can keep going. But their defensive record is so good.
Yeah. And again, Finnerty, look.
Yeah.
And to be fair, we mentioned it to him last week, that whole back line have done an excellent job so far.
Yeah, and he talked about the back five, so he was talking about, you know, Talbert as well. So
not sure who put it up, just to touch a little bit on Pat's and Dundalk again. Cleary now being Pat's second top scorer.
Oh, yeah.
That's
so
good. That's,
well, that doesn't help Pat's that they're missing Drennan for the next two games. So the FAI have put a bit of zero tolerance on verbal abuse, I think they were saying about Drennan after his red card. So he got a couple of additional matches suspended. So that hasn't helped. And yeah, they won't be able to have Cleary knock goals in for them. And they're down in Cork, I think, on Friday.
I think so, yeah. Let's talk a little bit before we get on and talk to Shane Tracy about John Delaney possibly appearing in The Rock this
week. Yeah, I got a little bit carried away last week thinking that he was in last Wednesday, but it was John Tracy.
Not to be confused with Shane Tracy, who's coming on the show later.
That is true, yeah. Spells his name differently as well. But John Tracy was very interesting last Wednesday and was pretty... It was teased out of him, but pretty critical of the FAI. So, but yeah, it's another sportscast. It's another day where a statement has popped into our inbox.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Give us a little couple of
4:46 statement from FAI President Donald Conway today.
Can you, because we do have to speak to Tracy Mick, can you make sure to condense this? Because they traditionally are the read.
Yeah, this is quite long. What have we got? 11 paragraphs.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but I'm only going to quote from two. Interesting thing is, so they, all requested members of the FAI are included on the list of those who will be in attendance. So John Delaney was requested, so we can presume that John Delaney will be attending, even though he's no longer on the board. But maybe the most interesting thing is down towards the bottom in the fourth last paragraph, which is the fact that they state, and I quote, "We also advised that some recent comments made by the FAI did not accurately reflect the board's level of awareness of the existence of the €100,000 issue in 2017. So this loan made by John Delaney, so this, the board seems to be saying, well, maybe not all that information was available to them at the time. So Wednesday
having said that, it was originally, they were fully aware.
Yeah. So,
so essentially, pretty much days before they go in to speak in the Oireachtas, they've just admitted that they've.
Yeah. So there's a lot of statements for the TDs to wade through. So their parliamentary assistants will be able to help them.
Yeah.
And good luck. Out with their highlighters to say, well, they said this and then they said that. So Wednesday will be interesting. FAI in Leinster House.
HBO will be fairly happy that this Oireachtas thing isn't coinciding with Game of Thrones returning or something, because this is going to be the thing to tune into. This is, I mean, Oireachtas TV, I'm not sure if they have ads, I can't particularly remember, but they should start selling ads and start the bidding pretty high right now, because this is going to get some major viewing. Now, that being said, they tend to go on, what, four or five hours?
4 hours.
Oh my God, I think I watched I was working, I managed to turn off the last half an hour when I got a break, but yeah, I can't imagine sitting through 4 hours. I might give it a go.
Yeah, see how you get on.
Yeah. Anyone going to be live tweeting that from the Extra Time account?
We might set it up as updates.
Someone will get stuck with that job and it won't be me. Just on that very topic, I thought we may as well, we'd bring the sort of recommended reads slightly forward, and we'd probably touch on it a bit more at the end of the show as well. But on the Irish Independent, Dan McDonnell, along with Kieran Lennon, it should be said, Dan, in his tweet about this, sort of gave Kieran Lennon the credit of the sort of the design of the whole thing, and it looks absolutely magnificent. But a piece in the Saturday Independent, it is essentially like a breakdown of, it's called Joining the Delaney Dots. It's worth reading up. They've got the details on the 10 board members, connections. They've got, let's have a look through it now. I mean, the three wise men of the classic RTE lineups, relationships with John Delaney, managers, technical directors, ex-players, loads of stuff like that. So definitely worth a read. You just had a read.
Very good. And an example of who said print is dead, but probably have a look at it online, but actually the printed version was the one to have.
Massively. And should be said, just before, when you say John Delaney's going to be there, is it just me? John Early, number 7. Just a little bit of a resemblance to John Delaney in a way. They could reasonably try and just...
Maybe some of the members of the Oireachtas might be hoodwinked, but I doubt...
Do you remember Saddam Hussein used to get doubles?
What was the film with Dave? Dave was fake US president?
Right.
No?
No. Eddie Murphy?
No, definitely not.
I thought you were going to say multiple little Eddie Murphys.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Look, it's definitely worth a read, that piece. And just if you're a little bit out of the loop on something like that, it's ideal to sort of bring you up to...
It's a good summary. Maybe not a recommended read, but a recommended listen.
Apart from this show, it should always be stated.
Well, it's not a rival sporting podcast. Yeah. So the journal are doing...
We love our rival sporting shows. Yeah. It's okay, but sorry.
They're doing they've just started up a weekly podcast called The Explainer, where they kind of take one of the main issues of the day. So previously, a couple of weeks ago, was on daylight savings and whether we should continue to move the clocks around. But this week is done in conjunction with the 42. So Niall Kelly is on with Sinead O'Carroll to talk about John Delaney and why he is in the news. Again, a good summary. I'd suspect for those who listen to this podcast are probably quite familiar with John Delaney, but again, good summary as to just the ins and outs of it. Again, similar to Dan's piece in the Indo, goes into in quite a lot of detail.
Great stuff. Well, look, that's a few bits for you to get stuck into maybe before Wednesday, before you sit down for your four-hour Rockdust TV watch. But I tell you what, McDarrah, we'll leave it there for the time being. We're going to go speak to Shane Tracy, and we'll be back to talk a little bit more about WrestleMania after.
And you're joined by Daniel Corcoran. Daniel, professional footballer from Dublin.
Just outside the city, Phibsborough, Scotland.
Right. Who'd you play for?
Bohemians FC.
The Bohemians.
Might have 189 not written down. Oh, sorry, it's gone.
Oh, Corcoran.
Daniel?
I think I have 829. 100 minus 9 times by 9.
Is 819.
And add the 10.
Very nicely done, 829.
Well done.
And George Corcoran. And Corcoran.
Start with a consonant, please.
Consonant, please, Carrie.
Limerick's Shane Tracy joins us now. Shane, another win and a clean sheet for Limerick against Galway on the weekend has got you joint top at the moment. Have you surprised yourselves a bit with this fairly strong start, given that it was sort of a little bit questionable early on in the season what kind of squad you guys would have?
Yeah, well, like you said there, it was kind of unknown to everyone how the division would go anyway. I think we obviously haven't been involved in the division in a few years and kind of wouldn't really have been used to many of the young players coming through in some of the teams. So, like we kind of said ourselves in pre-season, you know, just kind of nothing to fear really going into the season. No one's expecting much from us, like, so, like, we know we had good players and stuff and a bit of experience in the team, like, so it's just good to see some of the young lads now coming through and getting themselves a few goals and things like that.
I think we talked about the first division and sort of previewed it early on the season and looking at yourselves now, four clean sheets, only one loss. That kind of indicates that you're sort of keeping it very tight at the back and playing a kind of close controlled game. And I think that was quite similar even towards the end of the time in the Premier Division. Is that sort of ability to control a game like that, or at least to defend very, very well, a bit like some of the rest of the teams in the division have done, but is that going to be a big asset to your season, do you think?
Definitely, yeah. Look, obviously, if you can keep clean sheets, you're giving yourself a chance in any game. Like you said there, it was similar enough last year. I think our problem was scoring goals. In a lot of the games that we played, we kind of started quite well and defensively we were very good. But, you know, we kind of a lack of concentration every so often and a lot of missed chances kind of killed us towards the end of the season. But we've continued to this year. Like, you know, there's a lot of experience at the back. And in fairness, you know, Killian Browder has been excellent along with Jack Brady. He's made some great saves, especially like you say, small margins in games like Cabin Teely, and it's 1-1 and he saves a penalty, you know, and we go on him in the game 2-1. So everyone has kind of chipped in, but not alone. That I think like we're just well organised in general, you know, and especially midfield as well. You've Jason Hughes and Darren Murphy, kind of good understanding of the games, like and the pressing from the front. I think Conor Ellis and Sean McSweeney, they work their socks off, you know, and it kind of compliments down through the whole team.
With all the team mentioned there, I have to say from my own point of view, personally I was delighted Tommy Barrett and a chunk of the staff were staying on as well. I thought it was a huge plus when Limerick went down. But we spoke to Tommy around the time he took the job. I think it was just a couple of weeks after, and he sort of played down coaches. He kind of said a lot gets made out of coaches. Really, it's about the players playing for you and sort of creating that kind of environment. But from yourself, how important do you or the squad feel that Tommy's work has been in there?
Look, he's been excellent, you know. In fairness, you look at last season, what he had to contend with as well. You know, especially as a first kind of season as a manager, it was very hard with kind of players having to leave. But look, it's part and parcel and kind of stand him in the future as well, you know. But you know, this year now, he's kind of got a couple of lads in that he knows as well through the past, and he's been around the game a long time. Like the thing with Tommy is, he's, you know, he's very open. He speaks with his players, he asks for opinions, and along with that as well, the same from his coaching staff, you know. So he looks for help off of people as well, but also, like, you know, look, it's his final word at the end of the day, like. But I'm delighted for him as well at the moment with the way things are going, like, and I just hope we can keep on continuing to do well.
And Shane, what's the difference between kind of Premier Division and First Division from a training point of view? You guys presumably maybe more part-time compared to last season and training in the evening rather than training in the morning?
No, well, look, he's kind of kept it in the morning time, to be honest. You know, I think that's what a lot of benefit is this year. Like, it's the dedication from the boys, really. Like, they're still doing double sessions Mondays and Tuesdays. Fit 100 has been very kind to the lads, and they're doing gym sessions early in the morning at kind of 8 o'clock and then going over doing a pitch session, you know, on Monday, Tuesdays, which obviously I think you can see from our fitness levels, it stands to the boys, like, and then obviously Taylor's down on a Thursday and the game on a Friday, like, so from that side of it, I think that's helped massively. Especially in this division as well, you know, if you can keep yourself fit, as it is more of a part-time base with a lot of lads that will be working and stuff like that, it kind of gives you every chance.
And the margins are so slim. We've been kind of saying it for the last couple of weeks looking at the league table. So the latest this week is there's only 2 points between first and sixth. I know it's early in the season, but those kind of small margins, though, getting the preparation right as well as like having the right players, but they're the, you need to put everything in to make sure that you're maximising what you have within your squad.
That's it. Look, I think it's across the board in football in general. You know, the margins are always small. It's kind of decisions sometimes or kind of instances in games that can change things. You know, it's going to be like that for the season. I think if you look at some of the results, everyone is kind of beating everyone around the table. You know, I think Wexford especially over the last couple of weeks as well. They've after the kind of heavy defeat they had down in Cove. They've beaten Bray and they were unlucky against Longford again the other night, you know, so no one would have seen that coming. And I just think it's an open league. And I know it's kind of a cliche, but you just really need to do take every game as it comes. And like you said there, just focus on the next opponent, see what their strengths are and kind of hopefully you can pip them on the night again.
McDarrah mentioned a couple of the changes in the off-season there, the likes of the part-time, but in terms of since the sort of unsurety, I suppose, the private investment and daily car sales getting involved and stuff like that, obviously that must have given the whole squad a bit of a boost. I think it certainly did with the fans to sort of have a lot of that sort of question gone and just get back to getting involved, playing each week, and we get to pretty much talk about that. Surely the squad's felt a fair bit of relief off that as well.
Yeah, look, that's all players want to do is just go out and enjoy their football. You know, last week was, the week before last, we had 750 people in the Markets Field. And just even the noise off them, it was good again, you know. It was similar to a couple of years ago. And that's the kind of look, you know, yourself when teams are doing well in the League of Ireland, the crowds come to watch them. I think that's just in Ireland in general, you know. So, especially after last week's result against Galway as well, and leading into the game on Friday, there's just a feel good factor around the club again. Like, and hopefully we can add another maybe couple of hundred onto that 750 that was at the last home game we had, you know, and just continue on bringing that back and growing, like, and getting the squad together throughout the next couple of months and going into the end of the off season and stuff, just to try challenge again in the Premier Division.
From your own point of view, you're in your 12th season for Limerick now. I suppose it's quite a young team when you look around it. How do you feel your role has changed, I suppose, being in the experienced head now in that young team? And how do they compare with some of the sides you've played with?
Yeah, look, I've seen maybe five or six kind of different kind of meshes of teams over the years. Like, and in fairness, this one is very good, you know. There's a good group of young lads coming through. In fairness, everyone gets on well with everyone. To be honest with you, you know, training, there's a little bit of a buzz around the place. I think the young players can express themselves around the senior players that are there. So, you know, I think like we kind of, you know, you can obviously be hard on players and things like that. But I think we're more there to encourage them this year because we know the kind of situation we were in at the start of the season. So there's no point in caning people, especially young players coming through, because it can hinder them at times, you know. But look, there's a good cohesion there at the moment. Good mix, as you said there. Kind of Sean Kelly, Robbie Williams, who's always been excellent as well, I think, since the start of the season. And right through the team, everyone has kind of chipped in, and whether it be goals or performances, like, and it's just what you need. You know, there's no secret to success. Like, you know, obviously everyone goes back to Dundalk, but it's just hard work and working as a team and hopefully building from there then and just putting some bit of quality to it and that's kind of where it takes you, you know.
Outside of your role as sort of one of the more experienced members of the dressing room, your role in the team, I suppose, positionally has changed a lot over the years as well. Sort of on and off. I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying you played pretty much every position. I think you might have even had to hop in goals at some stage. Is that right?
That was it, yeah. Saved the penalty as well.
Yeah, there you go. I knew there was
Sean
something
O'Connor,
like
that. You know? That was it, yeah. But the funny thing was, I think I actually Sean Brennan went in goals a few weeks before, and then I missed one on him down Tom Park. A few weeks later, I ended up going to goals. And then, so I can't really be... I can't really slag too much as that me a few weeks before. And, you know, it was an eventful few weeks.
In terms of how you play in the team now and maybe how you would have in sort of seasons before, obviously you played a little bit at fullback a fair bit, getting forward and stuff like that. I suppose in Tommy's team, a lot of the time I had seen, certainly the last couple of seasons, there was switching quite a lot to maybe 3-5-2, using defensive wingers rather than having you bombing on as a fullback. But what way do you feel you're playing in the team now? Is it still in that same kind of role, out to the left and creating a bit?
Yeah, but look, that's it. It's just like I've tailored my own kind of training. I'm only kind of committing to one day a week at the moment, you know, with kind of work and family and everything. That's all I could really commit to this season. And look, I'm kind of managing a gym inside, so I'm able to I've access to training facilities myself. Like, and it's kind of tailored kind of down that way, small, but like, so. I'm happy to be playing every week now at the minute, you know, because I didn't know where it was going to go at the end of the season, with a lot of different things outside of football too. So at the moment, like, I don't mind where I played. Discussions with Tommy when I came in, it was similar to that. Like, you know, I've played midfield as well for Tommy a few times, and just whatever at the moment, it's working, you know, with the way the team is, the formation, and you know, you don't change the winning formula, like, you know, unless there's you're kind of forced into it. So look, I'm happy to kind of continue on playing left back and wherever I'm needed, really, just to be enjoying the games, especially at this stage of my career.
Lastly, I suppose, from a purely self-serving question from a Limerick fan, in terms of playing with a couple of different iterations of this team, what do you reckon is the best team you played with? Off the top of my head, I'm thinking of 2017. You've got Ben Atosi, Lee J, Duggan, Clark, Erie, a bunch of really, really talented players all along that team who are, you know, still probably quite a lot of them at the top of their game. From your own point of view, would you say that's up there? Is there a few that popped to mind?
Definitely. Look, to be honest, I've played with some very good players. Like, the first time we won the first division there, like you, Joe Gamble, Dennis Behan, Stephen Bradley, Dominic Foley, lads that were senior players that had serious careers, with young players coming through at the time, Dave O'Leary, Stephen McGann. And then, as you spoke there, right through it, like, I remember, say, Aaron Green, I thought was an excellent player. When he was down with us, he picked up an injury in the middle of the season. The year we won the first division as well, you know. So, to be honest, it's kind of been a different mix, a different kind of players coming through the whole way. But I can't really say which was better, to be honest, you know. Every team, kind of, like, the first time when the first division was obviously kind of history making 18 years, and there's a lot of work to get to that level, to get those players in, and then from there, then obviously to get back up the year we went down. So I can't really pinpoint either. They all had their own kind of qualities for different reasons going through, like, you know, for either the case of having good senior players, they kind of maybe exciting football, to different kind of meshes as a team, like, to be honest, you know.
Yeah, massively. I suppose lastly then, next year off to, you've got Wexford at home, I think it is, but only 2-3 weeks ago they beat Bray, who were absolutely flying at the time, so it's a bit topsy-turvy in the division at the moment. Do you expect a kind of another very tight game? Because I would have thought, maybe, as you said, you're not a free scoring team at the minute. You're very much controlling games. And Wexford, I imagine, given that they've had a couple of rough defeats recently, are probably going to try more so to shut up shop. What kind of game do you reckon you'll have down there?
Yeah, look, it'll be a tough game. As I said, as I said earlier on in the interview, Wexford beat Bray 2-0, and also they kind of fell long for close to last week as well, you know. So you just can't take it for granted in this division, especially, like you said, we're not scoring many goals at the moment. We're kind of keeping it kind of shut shop and keeping defensively tight, like. So definitely be expecting a tough game, but, like, to be honest, everyone's looking forward to games now. Everyone's looking forward to training, which I think is a great thing to have, you know. People are enjoying themselves when they come in training, and also, like, people are enjoying, and even myself, it's kind of looking forward to games a lot more than previously and stuff like that, like. So just gonna look, take the same way again, approach it, give each team the same respect, and hopefully we can get another 3 points.
Brilliant stuff. Well, look, thanks a million for joining us, Shane, and looking forward to seeing Looking forward to seeing your 13th season for Limerick in the Premier next year as well.
Hopefully. We'll wait and see. I won't dodge it to that just yet.
Thanks very much, Shane.
Cheers.
And there's kind of a lot of grumbling about maybe we don't have enough Premier League players, but in terms of the Championship, as a...
But what's the point in grumbling about it?
But the step
I can't hold about it, can I? If they're not playing the play, what's the point of me grumbling?
The step up to international football in the Championship, is it kind of it's an easy manager?
Well, I'll tell you about when we played in 2002. What's the grumbling? We had lads who were all at the bottom of the Premier League, real scrapping away, Kinson and Matty Holland and Gary Breen, who hadn't even got a club. What's the grumbling? So, I don't subscribe to that, you know. You just... Whatever it is, whatever I've got, I'll get them together and make the best of them and try and make sure we qualify. Grumbling is not one of the things I do.
You can subscribe to each new episode of the ExtraTime.ie Sportscast on iTunes. Please give a rating or add a comment there to let us know your views.
something that stands out from that chat, McDara, is that we, I suppose, when we look at full-time and part-time teams in the league, that there is a bit of variety to how you can play in the League of Ireland in the First Division and the very top tier.
Yeah, that's why I was interested that they're, like, this idea of part-time, to my mind, generally is teams that train in the evening, so people are working. So I think it was, Rob Cornwell maybe had an interview I was reading recently. Oh, it could have been someone else, but talk, because Bohemians are training in the evening, but the idea of you kind of, you can't just be spending the day wandering around doing much. You need to rest up and be ready for training. So it's not ideal, but the situation is it gives players an opportunity if they don't want to be full-time, if they're in a position where they're studying or they have a flexible job, that they can actually do that.
It's generally seen as quite negative as well, isn't it? Whereas I think if you look at Limerick's situation, it's probably not negative at all. At the moment, it suits a lot of those players by the looks of, well, maybe not. I don't know each individual case, yeah. But certainly for Shane, it seemed to suit him. As he said, he's working full-time as well. So I suppose you essentially need the right conditions for that to work. Bohemians are a great example of that as well. It's all set up so that works very, very nicely for these players.
I think it depends on what situation is. If you have a traditional desk job 9 to 5, I think that's probably pretty difficult to do. You'd need a very flexible employer. The matches are Friday evening. Any supporter kind of knows the situation. Just as a supporter trying to get out to games on a Friday evening, let alone the midweek games that are coming to hit us in April. But there are certain other parts of employment where you can actually work around a roster and you can do things like that. And so it gives a position where, you know, there's not huge amounts of money in the League of Ireland. If you can supplement that with another job, then great. But it has the chance of maybe dropping off. But like you see the likes of in professional rugby in the game here, the provincial game here, like Munster, Leinster, Connacht, Ulster players, there's plenty of them that are actually studying at the same time. But again, that's a bit of flexibility. And you know, we've got UCD within the Premier Division, which has that opportunity as well for players.
Let's talk about the sad scenes in Ballybuffet. For people who might not be too aware of this, there was all sorts of pretty negative scenes in the Derry versus Harps game, pretty much ending with Derry emptying a bin out. Now, as much as I can make out onto the Finn Harps dressing room floor.
Yeah, the photo that's doing the rounds on social media does look like they left the dressing room in a bit of a state of repair.
Well, saying that, I mean, a spade a spade. They've poured a bin out. The bin beside it is empty. There is 5 pizza boxes on the floor.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm more concerned was the pretty terrible tackle and the red card
DC,
in the game.
Absolutely flying in with no attempt in any capacity to take the ball. And the worst part about that is you can make a pretty nasty tackle that'll get you a yellow, and that if that's what they're trying to say, look, get in on him, tackle him hard, fair enough. Look, that's part of the game. It's part of having these rivalries. It's part of players maybe taking pot shots here and there and then getting annoyed at each other or getting annoyed at the ex team. The tackle itself was so bad to throw your entire body weight into a guy. There's no other way than to say that is a legitimate leg break,
yeah,
and tackle.
That, like, you know, you're putting, we're talking about, you know, livelihoods there and employment, yeah. Which there is the chance there. So, yeah, I think that the disciplinary committee, the FEI, I think will be looking at that one. If Mikey Drennan got a 3-match ban for verbal abuse, yeah. I think they'll be looking at that one. And also, people may or may not be aware, we have our own dedicated website and Extra Time for our photography from this season. So photos.extratime.e. So I'm going to give that a plug.
Is that where the bin came from?
No, not a bin, but there is one, a Finn Harps player with it seems to be a rude gesture. Now, maybe they were Finn Harps 1-0 up at the time?
Yeah.
Maybe he's suggesting, so. Was asked what the score is. But John Paul McGinley and Claire McCall were taking photographs for us, and they've got a good range from up there on maybe Friday night.
Maybe he's a WrestleMania fan and was giving a Stone Cold Steve Austin tribute. Could be that either. More little wrestling to come, but we better talk about the not the return leg, but look, let's face it, Finn Harps are going to go up to the Brandywell and empty a bin out. They're going to bring same bin up.
Yeah, they've drawn each other in the EA Sports quarterfinal. Link, you have them there, Declan.
I do indeed. Just shortly before we're recording here, so you have Derry, Finn Harps at the Brandywell, Dundalk versus UCD at Oriel, Bray versus Waterford at the Carlisle Grounds, and Bowes versus Cork at Dalymount. Can you pick out a couple of results there? We don't do predictions much on the show anymore, but just having a quick look over that. Cork.
I think. Well, I think Bray probably be Waterford.
I was
at the last round when Bray knocked out Rovers on penalties. So Bowes v. Cork.
Buzz going after talking to Dylan McLeay last week. He was talking about the kind of enjoyment and the cup run and them wanting to keep kicking on and keep winning games regardless. Like essentially, that a bunch of players aren't there to play about in the first division. They're there to win things. So I reckon you're right. I reckon there's going to be a certain commitment from Bray in the cup this year.
Yeah, and then the other games, I just realised they're a repeat of sorts of last year's FAI Cup semi-finals. So Bowes v Cork. So Bowes will be out for revenge. They were almost seconds away from getting through to the FA Cup final when refereeing decision went against them, took them down to replay, and then Cork won. And similarly, by all accounts, well, talking about tackles, it was a bad tackle in that Dundalk UCD semi-final, which Dundalk got away with, and UCD were unlucky not to to win. And then I think that didn't go to replay, but Dundalk won in the end. So again, we were talking about the strength of Dundalk squad. They'll probably have the upper hand over UCD in that, but remains to be seen. Like those fixtures are going to be played, I think, towards the end of May.
Yeah,
they're quite a while away.
Yeah. Well, looking forward to it. As I said, keep an eye out. They'll be confiscating bins coming into that.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk a little bit about recommended reads. We've kind of put it up front there. You had a recommended listen. Do you want to reiterate the podcast? Just
The Explainer with the journal.ie.
Yeah, and we talked about that joining the Delaney Dots, Stan McDonald, and the Irish Independent, Kieran Lennon, put together. Well worth a look at. As you said, the print version is gorgeous. I want to throw one in from the Limerick Leader. It's Andrew Cunneen's piece on Becky Lynch. Not that I've seen too much of it now, but both yourself and Dave Donnelly had actually texted me about the sort of negativity around wrestling from certain sections of the Irish media, which I find quite surprising. I thought the thing was that you jump on McGregor now, not.
Yeah,
wrestling.
Well, it is a bit surprising because, like, you know, in Ireland we like our theatre, and is that not what wrestling is?
What this is. And also, is it not, like, there was an Irish wrestler previously and this wasn't a big issue. There's an Irish wrestler, Sheamus, he went over years ago when he was winning things.
There's two, because there's your man, I'm looking up here.
That's all right.
Finn Balor.
I don't really remember him. I know Shane is the big ginger fella. But it's just off the back of Becky Lynch. And this was put up by Andrew, I think, yesterday before WrestleMania actually went underway. So Limerick born, Becky Lynch.
Well, so Limerick Leader claiming her as her own. Irish Times claiming her as from Baldoyle.
She moved to Baldoyle.
Yeah.
She moved to Baldoyle.
Formative years.
Yeah. Well, she's born in Limerick. Okay, I said Limerick born. Okay. It's factual. Yeah. And you're not calling Andrew Cunneen a liar, are you?
Definitely not.
So, yeah, to headline WWE's Night of Nights. It's a good little read. There's a little bit about her time down in Limerick in it and, you know, how she's sort of risen to get where she is. The idea, I think, being from the media that this is a predetermined thing, so she's not a winner of anything in a sports person's type of view. But as you said, it's theatre. We're trying to claim Saoirse Ronan every couple of... Every couple of times she goes,
no, I think,
and wins.
I think Britain are trying to claim her every time she wins something.
But, right,
but yeah, by all accounts, she won last night. So
yeah, she did.
And she's, well, it was against Ronda Rousey, which a lot of people
and
do
Ric
follow.
Flair's daughter.
Okay,
so
pretty,
you know. You know, that's pretty epic. That's a huge UFC champion and a former, you know, huge WWF, WWE, whatever they want to be called now, star. Just a lot of good stuff in here about, I suppose, that negativity, talking about the lack of an off-season in WWE. Like, the commitment these people put in. I mentioned to you just off-air, John Oliver has a show in America. I'm not generally a big viewer of this thing, but I saw that he had done something on wrestling, and he's a big fan of old-school wrestling. I think you've fallen into the same category as myself, would have maybe late 90s, early 90s seen a bit, and that's maybe where it faded away for me. But I found it quite interesting, and Andrew talking about the lack of off season. It shouldn't be undermined how much work these people put in. Where it's between like an acting and a sporting career, it's somewhere in the middle.
There's huge amounts of skill, huge amounts of fitness,
huge amounts of pain.
Are we going to try and post this podcast in a crossover? Try and get more.
Yeah,
wrestling.
That's what
fans,
this
is
all about. This is a terrible shameless
hashtag. What do you hashtag a WWE event?
I couldn't tell you. We'll have to ask Andrew. Okay. Get him on at some stage. But it should just last thing to touch on the rest before. Like, there is an element of that they don't get health insurance themselves. It has been made available over the last couple of years in certain. But like, I mean, how could you insure people like that? You know what I mean? They're also on. What you call, essentially they're
zero-hour
contract in a sense, which, again, given that they were exclusively for this one giant company, it's fascinating. You should watch the John Oliver thing, and you should read Andrew Cunneen's piece to maybe better understand Becky Lynch and why this is a phenomenal achievement for an Irish sports person who was born in Limerick.
So might she be down in the Marcus Field at some stage?
We can only hope.
Walking around the pitch with the belts?
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Besides Shane Tracy, two absolute legends of Limerick side by side. McDara, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You can get us on at ET Sportscast on Twitter, at Extra Time News on Facebook, or extratimelive@gmail.com. And I think we'll be back next week. We'll speak to you then.